Please stand for the scripture lesson today. It's out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 to 25. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. But by his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Now you bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, Lord, now, and to share my testimony. Amen. So it was 1991. I was a lot younger in 1991, and it was just a pivotal year for us because we just had the birth of our second child, which was a daughter, and it had been 16 months from the birth of our son, and somehow I just couldn't figure out how that happened, and my wife said, "Really?" But I'll remember in 1991, you know, you've got two almost infants in the house together. And I remember a day in 1991 where they were all upstairs. We had this tri-level house. And I was sitting downstairs in the family room, and I had the World Series on in 1991. And in that World Series, that was when one of my favorite teams, the Minnesota Twins, played in Game 7 of the World Series. Now, like I said, I'm from Cleveland, and we're used to not winning, so I adopted the Minnesota Twins. And it was a stupendous game. It was in that 10th inning of the World Series, it was 0-0. In that 10th inning, the bases were loaded, and Gene Harkin hit a ball over the head of the Atlanta Braves outfielders, and the Twins won the game, 7 of the World Series, 1-0. In a moment of overwhelming excitement, I just ran around and screamed and screamed. And as I screamed and screamed, I heard kids cry and cry. And there was my wife at the top of the steps looking down like, "What are you doing?" But you know what? Gene Larkin's hit was incredible. But more amazing was the pitching performance. Jack Morris, who was the pitcher, he pitched a complete shutout in the Game 7 of the World Series. Now, a complete shutout is that means every single inning he didn't allow the other team to score a run. And he did this in the biggest game that any baseball player can ever play in, Game 7 of the World Series. Now, most people and experts would consider Jack Morris's pitching performance to be one of the greatest in World Series history, a complete game shutout. It was practically a perfect performance. Think about it now, still kind of gets me excited. I love the fact that my team won the World Series, but even more, I love the fact that my team had a perfect, complete moment, 1-0. In one of the greatest gifts games ever played. So here's a question I have for all of you today as we begin. Have you ever had a perfect moment like that? A moment in your life that was so complete that you could hardly find anything wrong with it. You know, I think we as human beings like to chase the idea of perfection or completeness. I've heard many brides talk about their wedding day wanting it to be the perfect day. I've heard many students at times wanting to have that perfect 4.0. I've worked with people who wanted to write the perfect song or lead the perfect worship in church. And as humans, we even get caught up with celebrities because they seem to have the perfect life and the perfect amount of money to make life complete. And we can go on for hours and hours, but for some reason, we take great joy in running to or experiencing completeness or perfection. But the truth is, and we all know this, that nothing is perfect. If you think about it, the lives of celebrities are often a complete mess. When you finish writing a song, there's always things that could go better. If you get a 4.0, maybe the stress of it almost kills you of attaining it. And the perfect wedding doesn't necessarily lead to the perfect marriage. You see, perfection and completeness are virtually unattainable. And for me, this also rings true in my spiritual life. God has shown us pretty clear how we should live and be in relationship with Him, but constantly we fall short. And we can ask our questions, why can't I seem to get my spiritual life in order? Maybe, why do I fall short? Why do I keep sinning? Why can't I just be a better Christian? Why can't I completely be sold out for Jesus? And I believe we live in this tension. I desire to complete and perfect God, but in my gut, I know that we can never get this way. Have you ever felt that way? So today in our sermon 3 of our season, Chosen, we've been talking for the last 2 weeks about how God chooses us. Last week, we talked about how God changes us. And today, I want to talk with you about how we have been made complete by God. And our sermon notes are in your bulletin. And I just want to remind you of our target scripture, which is this. It says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. And once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. So today, as we focus on the word complete, Jesus says this. He says that Jesus, Peter in his letter says, Jesus personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And the scripture says this, by His wounds, you're healed. By His wounds, you're healed. And so as we dive into this passage, I want to discuss today two truths that can give us hope for maybe a seemingly unperfect, incomplete life. The first one is very simple. Number one, Jesus carried away our sin. Jesus carried away our sin. Going back to 1991, I remember that was one of our first winters as a family in our first house. And we lived in a town called Twinsburg, Ohio, and we were in the secondary snow belt. So lots of snow was just something that we anticipated. But as a new and young homeowner, I didn't prepare for winter. And we had one of those driveways that went up and went up and went up and went up and then finally went in. So I remember that we were coming home from the Christmas holiday with our folks down in Youngstown, and we had a huge snowstorm. And I didn't have a snowblower. Actually, I didn't even have a shovel because we'd gone from living in an apartment and we finally got in our house right before Christmas. And I remember going home and thinking that, I'm how are we going to get up in that driveway? And I've got two kids, and I've got a wife, and bags, and playpens. And you know, when you travel, when you have kids, all that stuff you have, it's pretty amazing. And I just remember as I was driving towards our house thinking, how are we going to do this? How am I going to, first of all, get up the drive with this car? And so I knew when I got home this was going to hit us. And seriously, I don't think there's anything more terrible than moving heavy snow in the cold. I hate cold. I hate heavy things now. But as I approach my driveway, I want to tell you something. My dread turned into joy. Someone had come over and removed all the snow from my driveway. It was clean and it was clear. And I couldn't believe it because we had just moved in. It's wintertime. We didn't have a chance to meet anybody in our neighborhood. But my one neighbor, out of the goodness of his heart, my neighbor removed the snow for me. Now get this. If you are in Jesus, he has removed the snow from your driveway. He has removed the sin from your life and carried it in his body onto the cross. So you are clean. You are perfect. You are complete because Jesus removed your imperfections and because Jesus has taken sin away from your life. You see, we long for perfection. We long to be complete. We long to live for Jesus. The problem is we try to do it ourselves. We try to, use this analogy, clean our own driveways. But the snow sometimes is too heavy and too deep. And we can never be complete on our own. You see, my friends, we need Jesus to take away our sin. If you lied sometime this week, know that Jesus can carry that sin away from you. If you struggled with greed or pride or fear, know that Jesus can take away that sin from you. And it can die with him on the cross. And so our first point, you and I are perfect and complete because of Jesus. And that's why we worship. And that's why we sing. And this is why we pray. All of our wrongs have been removed from us. We are complete in Christ. Now, I have two words of caution. Number one is this. Because our sin is removed from us, that doesn't mean we should just keep sinning. But if we love Jesus, if we align ourselves with him, we will not want to sin. And number two, because our sin is removed from us, it doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for our sin. There are still real-world consequences for the wrongs that we do and have done. So that's the first point, is that we are complete, we are perfect, because Jesus has removed our sin. Now let's look at the second point. It's this. The second reason why we are complete is because his wounds have healed us. You know, when we hear the word healing, oftentimes we think about being healed physically. But the word used in this passage in the scripture has a much deeper meaning than physical healing. It can be translated as to be made whole, or I like this, to be made complete. So when the Bible tells us, by his wounds you are healed, what it's really saying is this, his wounds have made us whole. They've made us complete. And not only has Jesus taken away our sin, he's healed our brokenness. Listen one more time in this different translation. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. Healed. This is past tense. His wounds have healed us. They aren't merely healing us. And so if we're in Christ, we're healed. It's done. We're not patients in a hospital waiting for an IV or medicine or a doctor to heal us. If we are in Christ, if we have accepted him into our lives, we are healed. It's done. Now, I understand that most of us here today don't sometimes feel spiritually healed. We don't feel like maybe we're spiritually complete, but that's because we still struggle with the effects of a broken world. And we still struggle with sin. But hear this. Sin cannot kill us anymore. And before Christ, sin had this power over you and could kill you physically and spiritually. But now you've been healed. You've been made complete. You might feel the effects of sin, but it will not overtake you because of his wounds. Now think about that saying. When you think about a wound, we often don't think about wounds healing us. You know, we think about it, wounds are what hurt us. But it's also true that wounds can heal us. When I was driving up to Xenia today, I had a Christian station on, and the song that they were singing was just amazing. It says, "You see wounds, but I see mended. You see wounds, and I see mended." You know, if you have a cardiac blockage, a doctor, you have a catheterization, and after that, if you have to have surgery, a doctor might need to cut a wound into the middle of your chest for open heart surgery to save our lives, save your lives. But we know that that wound can heal us. And in the case of Jesus, his wounds were as necessary as an open heart surgery. You see, Jesus had to be wounded so that we can be healed. So why did Jesus need to be wounded? I mean, couldn't there be a better way to heal us? And now I need to dig a little deeper here for us to understand this. And also, this is where things get a little uncomfortable. But the reality is this. Our sin can be so horrible. Our sin was so horrible that it needed to be punished. And you know, we live in a society right now that doesn't take sin very seriously. It doesn't see sin as that big of a deal. But the truth is, God does. God is perfect, holy, set apart. And our sin against him is horrible and needs to be punished. But instead of punishing us, this is amazing, God sent his son to die for us. God knew that we could never, ever bear the weight of that punishment. And so instead, he sent his son to earth to carry that for us. So sermon note number four is this. Jesus absorbed every punishment for every sin that every person has ever committed. Let me say that one more time. Jesus absorbed every punishment for every sin that every person has committed. Now, this might sound terrible, but while it was terrible, what happened to Jesus was good for us, because by his wounds we are healed. He absorbed all the punishment for our sins, everything we've ever done. Maybe lie, maybe cheated, maybe stolen, maybe cursed. You no longer are punished for those things because of Jesus. And we want to remember those two facts, that it doesn't mean that we keep on sinning, okay? And it doesn't mean that there are consequences for sin. But we're going to see very clearly here how Jesus makes us complete. So these two reasons Peter told us that we're complete. Number one, I said, was Jesus carried away our sin. And number two is his wounds have healed us. You might ask, well, what does this matter? Or what does that mean for me? Or, you know, how do I live that out in my daily life? And so we talked at the beginning of the message about Jack Morris's complete game and how we are to some degree desire to be perfect and complete. But when we look at our lives, we realize that it's possible, impossible. So let me tell you this. Our desire to be perfect, our desire to be complete, our desire because it shows that we understand that sin is wrong and bad, but we have to realize that there's something more. There's something more. You see, we try to be perfect. We try to be complete simply by trying to be better, trying harder. If we struggle with lying, we just try harder. If we struggle with things of this world, we try harder. If we struggle with pride, we try harder. If we struggle with addiction, we try harder. But see, trying harder really never works. Now get this. All of our trying harder will never give us the desire for completeness that we want. That can only be found in Jesus. And so Jesus came to this earth, clothed himself in humanity, and what he did on the cross was enough for God. I remember when I was in second grade, I'll never forget this, May 3rd, 1970, Sister Perpetua, again, wrote on my spelling paper. It's one of those things, you know, you're waiting for the grade, and there was a grade there, and it had a C with a circle around it. Now, if you're a teacher back then, you know what a circle around it meant? Anybody? A C with a circle around it? You're lazy. You can do better. So not only did I get a C on my spelling test, I got a circle around it. It's kind of like that book. You know, what's the deal with the circles? But she wrote this on my paper, and I'll never forget it. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is? Yeah. Do you know that too? Did you get that on your papers? Wow. But you know, we struggle sometimes by trying harder and harder and harder. I mean, there are things of this world that only Jesus can make whole. And so I say to you this, instead of focusing on what you're doing, focus on what Jesus has done. Focus on what Jesus has done. You know, when I work in practice with addictions of all kinds of types, you know what the turning point is? The turning point is when people start to embrace the higher power, and we kind of dance around that higher power. It's Jesus. When people start to embrace Jesus, the power to transcend addiction, the power to transcend temptation is there. And no matter how hard we have tried and tried, when we let Jesus into our life, that power takes over. It makes us complete. And in Jesus, we find our sins have been taken away. We find that our brokenness has been healed. And we'll never find that, friends, in a self-help book. And you can never help yourselves enough. We don't need self-help. What we need is Jesus. And so, as I said, instead of focusing on what we're doing, we need to focus on what Jesus has done. We do this, we find our completeness. Now, this is just a major, major turning point. And I see this weekly with people, and I see it with myself as I struggle. People that come in and talk about wanting to make their life better. And I'm trying harder. And there are things of this world that we can't transcend that Jesus can. And we've got to believe that. And when we believe that, there's this sense of relief. You know, the amazing idea that Jesus has taken away my sin, that Jesus can take away addiction, that Jesus can take away, you know, behavior that's irreproachable. It's amazing. And so when we struggle, we need to look to what Jesus has done for us. And that what makes us different, once again, as Christian believers, is we have a God who's bought our salvation for us. And there isn't anything in this world that we can't transcend if we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we follow him. All of our human efforts, all of our self-help, all the counseling in this world, it can help. But we need to embrace Jesus, who's already done the heavy lifting for us. Jesus, who's already cleared the driveway from the snow. You know, when you struggle, my friends, the words today are look to Jesus. He was patient with broken people. If you struggle with pride, look to Jesus, who was God, yet born in a lowly stable. Most of all, if you're struggling with sin, look to the cross. Look to the cross where Jesus took away all of our sin. Look to the cross where his wounds have taken away our punishment. Look to the cross, the only place in the entire world where a sinless, perfect man made sinful, broken men and women complete. Complete. So as we go forth today, just ask yourself, was there ever a day or moment when you felt complete? And describe that memory and the feelings that went along with it. And I guarantee you, if you've had that kind of experience, you were having a Jesus moment. A Jesus moment. You know, one of the great things about being a parent, one of the great things about being a grandparent, is watching kids grow and seeing them through different milestones. And I'll never forget when my son and my daughter both graduated from high school and they were going on to college. I just remember being at the graduation, feeling this, like, I remember telling my wife, if this was my last day on earth, I am so happy. I am so happy to see that these two children have been raised and they're going in a good direction. And I know that, you know, we got to be careful and they got to be careful because sin in this world. I remember that complete moment, but with that complete moment came this rush, and that rush was the Holy Spirit. That rush was the Holy Spirit that said, John and Lisa, you know, you've kept your hands of Jesus on your children, and they're going to be complete as they go through. You know, life isn't going to be easy. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be sin, but as long as the hand of Jesus is upon them, they're going to be complete. And I recognize that day that it just wasn't a fleeting feeling, an emotion. It was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, falling afresh on me. And you know, it just was amazing. Because Jesus lives, my friends, we can face tomorrow. We can face sin. We can face whatever this world will give us. And transcend it. And so as you leave today, I hope that you'll take the words from the sacred scripture with you. By his wounds, we are healed. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, Lord, we thank you so much for the times in our lives when we felt Jesus' completeness. Lord, we thank you for those times where we have felt totally out of control. And yet your Spirit came into our lives and pulled us back and balanced us out. Lord, we thank you for those times in our life when we just feel down about ourselves and that nothing can come good from what we've done or what we're doing. And we thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that brings us back. And now, Lord, as a church family, Lord, we know we've got lots of work to do to be the body of Christ that you call us to be. But Lord, we claim today what you have already done. And we claim that, Lord, as we move forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross for our sin. We ask this in his strong, strong name. Now, if you would turn it to number 881 in your